And that's about the way it is when you start getting older. But the Lord's blessed us, blessed our mission work, and I can take this opportunity now that I'm in the pulpit to thank all those who have placed their confidence in us and helped us and blessed us, and we appreciate your kindness and your love and your support. And you know, there's one thing always is on my heart, and I'll share this with you. Every day of my life, and I'm serious, I get up, first thing I ask the Lord in the morning, Lord, don't let me betray the confidence you've placed in me. And the second thing, and I'm serious, is Lord, don't let me betray the confidence of those pastors and churches that have supported us in this mission work to keep us here and keep us on this field. It breaks my heart to think that I would do like some missionaries have done and disgrace the Lord and those people that had confidence that they would get the job done. It is a tremendous job, but it's a job with rewards. And what I'd like to do this morning, and I didn't know I'd be called on to do this. I want to give you a summary of everything that everybody else has preached. That's about all I know to do, but it's the message the Lord gave me, and I kept thinking, is that what I'm going to preach? And the Lord said, that's what you're going to preach. So, in the allotted time, we'll try to get through this, Acts the 13th chapter, reading verses 1 down to verse 5. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord. That is what all of God's people ought to be doing, ministering to the Lord. And they fasted. And I think that the Lord teaches us that. We should lose a little weight along the way. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So then, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John for their minister. 10 different times in this chapter alone, the book of Acts, and I never looked it up, but I'd be amazed to know how many times that the Word of God, the Scriptures, the testimonies, is mentioned in God's Word. So my message this morning is emphasis on the Word. When the church sent them out, they preached the Word in the synagogues. They preached the Word. So God's emphasis in His book is on His book, His Word. God honors His Word. God exalts His Word. In Acts 26 and 27, Paul gathered the church at Ephesus around him. He made a statement there that we should take to heart, that we should consider, that we should dwell upon. He told them, he said, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Every child of God should be able to say, I'm pure from the blood of all men. Amen. I had a man that was a member of one of the churches I pastored that was a cripple, invalid. Only way he could get to church, get any place, if somebody would drag him in a wheelchair. Well, he got sick. I took him off to the hospital one night, had trouble, kidney stones, and had to do surgery. And they brought him out of surgery, put him in his room, and this lady came in, and he said, I'd like to talk to you a minute. And she said, what about? And he said, about your salvation, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, no, you can't do that. He said, I'll do it anyway. He began to talk to her about the Lord and told her about her salvation and eternal end if she didn't get saved. And she left the room. She went and told the head nurse, said, you get somebody to go in that room, I'm not going back. And the head nurse came in and said to Andy, she said, "Sir, I thank you for what you did. You've done what we've never accomplished." Amen. Said, "That woman is so shook up, she can't even do her work. She won't come in back in your room." And Andy said, "Ma'am, I just thank the Lord I'm free from her blood today." Amen. That's exactly what Paul is saying. Why? "For I have not shunned to declare unto you some of the Bible. I've declared unto you some scriptures." No, he said, "I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." There's a lot of philosophy creeping into the pulpits. I hate it when a man gets in a pulpit and I write down a whole bunch of words and go home and look in my dictionary trying to figure out what his terminology is. That's creeping into our pulpits. There's another ology I don't like, and that is I believe-ology. What did God say? What did the Word of God say? What did the Scripture say? There's a lot of things I'd like to believe, but I don't take them to the pulpit because I can't preach I believe-ology. Not intellectualism. Not tradition. Not conjecture. Human reasoning. You ever hear somebody get in the pulpit and say, "Well, in all probability." Oh, it's very likely. Folks, we're to preach the Word of God. I thank God that I couldn't wait to get to this place. I love to be preached to. When we get in a place like this, we should consider ourselves on holy ground. And we should thank God for every man that will get in the pulpit and preach the Word of God. Whether we like it or whether we don't like it. We don't need to go to church and say, "Boy, I hope he preaches what I agree with." When I came to this meeting, I pray, "Lord, let them preach to me." And I'll guarantee you, there are some times during this meeting that I've wept. There's times when I've watched the deportment of some of the people and the preachers in this meeting, and I've wept and said, "Lord, I need to be more godly, more holy, more Christ-like." Folks, I don't like to say that to the flesh. Hey, flesh, you've got a problem. Take care of it. There are some things we want to look to, and think about concerning the Word of God. And the first we've already touched upon, and every man that's preached in this conference this year has touched upon it, and that is the Word of God is to be preached. There is a famine in our land. There is a famine here in Mount Morris, Michigan, in the county and the state of Michigan. We need to realize that. There's a great famine in our land. Amos identified that. In Amos 8:11, he said there is a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. We have too many people going out and saying, "You need to come to the church I go to. This is what we believe." There was a big, rough fellow, mean and hateful. I worked with him. He weighed about 300 pounds. His wife started coming to the church where I was a member. And the pastor said, "Linda said that her husband knows you." I said, "He knows me." He said, "I want you to go and visit him." I said, "I'd be glad to do that. You go with me." Because I knew where he wanted me to go. In my flesh, I just didn't want to go and face that man. And so on a Monday night, he said, let's go visit Linda's husband. I said, are you going? He said, sure, I'm going. I'm going with you. He took his Bible and I said, Pastor, you better be ready to make an exit. I said, people are afraid of that man. We went and told him who we were and he invited us in. And the preacher said, we've come to talk to you about the Lord. He said, you sit right there. Do you have a Bible? He said, I sure do. I got it right here in my hand. He said, okay. He said, wait right there a minute. He came back. You know what that lost man had, that mean, hateful man? He had a Bible. He said, now read it. He said, you better read what it says. I'm going to follow you right here in Linda's Bible. You read what it says. And the preacher said, okay. He sat there in that big old 300-pound brute, got right down the middle floor, crossed his legs like an Indian. And every time that preacher would open his Bible, he'd say, where's that at? And he'd tell him. Sunday morning came to church. Why? Because the Word of God had been preached to him. He got saved. When my dad was dying with cancer, that man would work all day long. I'd stay with my dad for days on end. I'd preach and go sit in the hospital room with my dad. Many a night he'd come about 6 o'clock. That big old brute of a man, he'd say, you go home and rest. I'll stay with your dad. And I'd say, no, you can't do that. You have to work tomorrow. He said, you be back at 6. I'll leave at 6. I can make it to work. See what God can do through His Word is to be preached. The Word of God needs to be preached, not only to lost people, but they can hear the Word of God and God can save His elect. But we here this morning, we need preached to. My people perish, Hosea said, because of lack of knowledge. The Word of God needs to be preached. We as Baptist people, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. And we need to preach it and say it to people, this is what the Lord of glory said. This is what the God of heaven said. And the problem has become that we have become too religious. We expect great oratory in our pulpits many times. My preacher just too plain, outspoken, and I just don't care for that. You know why? It's because you've already got the message of what he said, and you didn't like it. We don't need oratory. We need preaching. We need preach to his preachers. We need to preach, proclaiming the Word of God. Why? That brings me to my second point. Because the Word of God takes priority over every other word. It takes precedence over all else. Look in this chapter and look in verse 44. Now, Paul preach to them. And I believe if we would go out and quit inviting people to church like it's already been stated and tell them what a nice preacher we've got, what a nice building we've got, and they would preach the Word of God and give that precedent, priority over religion, we'd see more happen. And the next Sabbath, they came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God. What did Paul preach to them? The Word of God. What did they come for? to the Word of God. Turn with me, if you will, to Nehemiah chapter 8. Look at this. Let's read verses 1 through 6. Here in Nehemiah, they're having a great revival. They're rebuilding the city, aren't they? Verse 1, chapter 8, all the people gathered themselves together as one man. That's how the Home Baptist Church should come together on Sundays. That's how the mission work our pastor should come together on Sunday, the church you're a member of or that you pastor. One man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Bring out the book. Bring out the Word of God. God spoke to us. He put it down in the book. Bring out the book. Folks, that is what we should expect when we come to God's house. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. They said, bring out the book. And they brought their families down to hear the book, the Word of God. We should teach our families the importance, the significance, the priority of the Word of God. When time for preaching comes, we should be prepared for the preaching. You know how we always prepared in our house when our children was home for the preaching on Sunday morning? We started on Monday morning getting ready. Every day we'd read the book. Every day we'd pray. Every day we'd confess our sins. Talk to God. Folks, we should take the whole week to get ready for Wednesday night and for Sunday to hear the Word. So they brought the whole family. He read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning till midday. Long preaching, wasn't he? Before the men, the women, and all those that could understand in the ears of all the people were attentive under the law. Now he's got a whole bunch of names. I'm not going to read those in verse 4. I'm not saying they're not significant, but look down to verse 5 and 6. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with the lifting up of their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. There's two things in that scripture. Number one, they required the Word of God to be preached. We should expect, place emphasis and priority upon the Word of God and settle for nothing less. And then go away and say, my, what a preacher. Come down. We've got a good preacher. Sometimes he's not so good. Last night, some people might have thought he wasn't so good. Folks, I want you to know, I sat and wept over this man last night. I can weep over a man who can weep over a broken heart. They responded to the Word of God. Why? We need the Word of God. That's the only thing that will make a difference in our lives is the Word of God. So we need to require, request, pay attention to, listen to the teaching and the preaching and be saturated in our very souls with the Word of God. not only know the truth, but to respond to that truth. Apply it to our individual souls and lives. Then there comes something we don't care for when we preach the Word of God. We place all the emphasis and priority upon the Word of God. Look in verses 45 back in the book of Acts. Now this is the part we don't like. The Word of God will be persecuted. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you to judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we go to the Gentiles. Persecution came. Who did it come from? The religious crowd. Do you think in the mission work we're in that the drunkards are out to do us in? Do you think the gamblers are out to do us in? You know who it is that's fighting against us? It's a weak need. Ungodly, quote unquote, Baptists around us. I can look out my window from where I sat in the little nook where we call it eating breakfast or whatever Thelma calls it. I call it a place to sit down with my Bible and read the Word of God. Now, she eats in there sometimes. Every time she says, how come I always have to move all your Bibles and books and notes every time I come here to eat? Because that's what God put it there for. She's not found that out yet. When I can look out the window and I can see one of the greatest entertainment centers that you'd ever want to go to. I mean, they've got everything for you and your family to entertain you. Well, they've even got a whole drama department. You know what it's called? Sunday Road Baptist Church. They're all around us. They tell people, how did I preach that little babies go to hell when they die? Crazy stuff like that. Why? Because the Word of God will be persecuted. And don't you go out and come back in crying on somebody's shoulder because somebody said something to you. Because they hate your Savior. They hated Him before they hate you, and they despise His Word. And we need to count ourselves people that are no better than our Savior. Don and I went out not long ago. We knocked on the door, and there was a little fellow about 5 years old with a pair of glasses on bigger than his face, standing by the leg of a teenage boy that looked like the devil had just walked in his house and took his body away from him. When I told him who I was, he said, is this religious? I said, no, we're from Landmark Baptist Mission. We're out trying to tell people about the Lord and see them saved. It's religious, isn't it? Who here? I said, well, what's your name? I don't know your name. I said, I'm Brother Grigsby. I've already told you that. And that little boy was standing there. You know what he said to us? I told Tom I wanted to grab him and just hug him and take him home with me. He said, mister, our names are Johnson. I said, thank you, son. I started to walk out the door. And here was the father. Oh, I wept over that. You know why? You know where that little teenage boy, about 16-year-old, got his attitude? From the devil himself, his father. He treated me worse than the dust of the earth. And I said, Mr. Johnson, I said, can I do something before I leave? What is it? I grabbed that man and hugged him just as hard as he could. I said, oh, I hate to see what's happening here so bad. I said, it tears my heart out that I can't just love you and be your friend and tell you about the Savior that saved my soul and changed my life, and you don't want to hear that. And he tore himself away from me and took off. Why'd he do me that way? The Bible says, you are of your father, devil, and lust of your father, you do. Folks, the only thing that would change that family is the Holy Spirit of God through the Word. You see those souls on the altar in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9? They were there for the Word of God. Those beheaded souls in Revelation 20 and verse 4 were there for the Word of God and their testimony. And Paul said to Timothy, all that will live godly in this present life shall suffer persecution. Preach the Word. Emphasize the Word. Make that the priority in all of our lives. We need to set our affections upon things in heaven, not upon things in this world. And folks, the greatest way to do that is get in the Word. And something else we need to know. The Word of God is powerful. We don't need to go out depending upon ourselves. I'm not an ancient old man. I'm not an ancient old preacher. I hope I've got a year or two left in me if God let me have the strength to do it. I want to be honest with you. In all my ministry, I've never gotten one soul saved yet. Not one. Not one soul have I ever gotten saved. And man, I'll tell you, I've got a few false professions I hated. I hate to try to deal with a false professor. Don't you? Folks, we have to realize that the Word of God is powerful. In this chapter, verses 36 through 46 of chapter 13 of Acts, Paul preached this great God-honoring, Christ-exalting sermon. In verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to Gentiles. For the Lord hath commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation on the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. That's what it does. Brother Randy preached it real good, brother. Where is he at? Anyway, it's the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1, 16 and 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation. You know why that he said preach the word, preach the gospel? Go into all the world and preach. It's because of why it does it. It's because in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, powerful, sharp than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Folks, we can preach the Word of God. We can preach the gospel. We can depend upon God's Word. We can get out of self, our psychology, our believology, quit inviting people to church, and preach to people. And God's Word does the work. You ever think of this? And this is the truth. In Romans 10:9, He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We believe that. We preach that. But you know what verse 17 says? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. It's the Word of God that produces salvation. John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. How does he hear? Well, I believe that we can hear with the physical ears. And most of us, if we was in church, heard a lot, didn't we? But you know what happened one day? One day, I heard it way down in my innermost soul, and I said, oh, dear Lord, what I've done. I nailed the very Son of God to Calvary's cross. I'm a guilty fall sinner. I heard. My soul was stirred within me. God gave me repentance and faith. He regenerated me within. And then you know what happened? You know what else it produced? He gave me a robe of righteousness and an armor. You know what that armor is? Word of God. Hedging me about with his word. I come here this week, you know what happened? My armor was strengthened. Well, I tell you, I had a repair job on my armor this week. I can go back and face the devil and the world and the God haters and stand strong. Because I've had an overhaul on armor. You know what else it promises? It promised me a blessed life as a sojourner on the road to glory. Folks, I get so homesick, don't you? Just thinking about what some of these preachers have said, just get so homesick. But you know, we have it every day, don't we? We face it from every side, but Psalm 119:165 says, great peace have they who love thy law, the word of God. Nothing shall offend them. Folks, I tell you, you go out and you face the devil's crowd, and you get on the defensive, I believe you've done harm to the grace of God. I don't think we need to get on the defensive. Why? What about those that would do despite to the spirit of grace? They need our pity. You know why? Because think about where they're going to spend eternity. Think of what could happen to those people. And think what a difference our attitude, our reaction is going to make. You know what I call Baptists? Reactionaries. Look at how you react in your daily life to the things that God permits to happen. Verse 48 fulfills God's purpose. Folks, we're fulfilling the purpose of God in preaching the word. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life, I believe. See, that's the only way that God's purpose can be fulfilled. Is preaching. Going and preaching. Then verse 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. You know what that word there is not the same word as preaching. That word published is not the same word as preaching. Because Paul and Barnabas were ordained and sent out. And they went down to that town and they preached the word. To publish the word of God is the blessing of every believer. That means personal
proclamation. Personally publishing the Word of God. I don't know how you think about this, but when I went to HICO, and people say, what kind of name is that? Well, ask anybody's business. You take that word and split it up. And put your hyphen in between those four. You know what it says, high? Co. And it is, high country. That's what it's short for. But anyway, get back to my message. I got 2,000 tracts on how to be saved. I got 1,000 tracts of a little booklet that talks about the eternal destination and the revelation of God for those that believe the gospel. I just ordered 1,000 tracts on scriptural baptism. I just ordered 1,000 tracts on the New Testament church. I just ordered 1,000 tracts on the difference between the family of God, kingdom of God, church of God. What do we do with those? Our people are publishing. Those are messages on the Word of God that we can take out in the community. Personally. And reach out to people. Why? They're confused, religious, lost. And they only believe what their pastor believes, and their preacher believes, and their Sunday school teacher believes. And that ain't much. But folks, we can make a difference. Are we great because we're doing that? That's not what I'm saying. God's great. I just want people to know what God said. Remember, and I'll close with this, remember that demoniac of Gadara? Now think about that fellow. I don't think you could get any poor specimen of a man. But Jesus went over and cast the demons out of him. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to do what Baptists want to do, just worship God. I'll go with you. Wherever you go, I'll just go and worship you. He said, you're not going to do that. I've got something to do. What is it? You go home to your friends and tell what great things he's done for you. And the Bible says he went down to Decapolis. Anybody here ever look for Decapolis on the map? It's not on there. Where in the world did he go? It's not even on the map. I got that in the front of my Bible here this morning. I know it's the truth because it came from Strong's Concordance and I believe it. Not because I've got a concordance in front of my Bible, but it's a Greek dictionary. A region of 10 cities. He went down to Decapolis and he began to publish the Word of God. He didn't just go home and tell his family. He took the whole county and every city in it. You know what we're doing in HICO? We're going to the county. Why are we doing that? Folks, we've got a message. We're not good messengers, but my, what a message. And we want those people to hear. And that's what will make a difference, just like the preachers have been preaching. Lack of vision, folks, don't get it done. Brother.
Boy, I tell you, you attend this conference.